Here's the question. What's going on inside the minds of top achievers that cause them to make extraordinary breakthroughs both personally and professionally? My name is Tim Scherer, and I invite you to join me as we take a deep dive into the unconscious mind and discover how to transform your biggest dreams into a reality. Welcome to the How to Be Mesmerizing podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm super excited that you're here. I've got an incredible guest for us today. Joe Vitale is here, and Joe is somebody that I have known and respected for over a decade. He's one of the world's greatest marketers and copywriters. This guy knows how to make an impact, how to sell, how to touch hearts and minds. He's like the spiritual guru that shows people how to grow their business while they're also growing their heart. And so he really cares about people, and he's written so many books that it would fill the entire podcast just if I went through reading the titles. So, but he's got a new book that we're going to be talking about later on. But anyway, I want to introduce a close dear friend of mine, Joe Vitale.
Thank you, Tim. That's a great introduction. It's great to see you again. You haven't aged a bit.
Yeah, We must be drinking the same Kool-Aid.
Well, whatever it is, we should sell it. Package it and sell it. Make everybody else stay young.
That's right. That's right. So if you want to know how to stay young, call 1-800.
Yeah. I love it. Seizing the moment.
Seizing the moment. That's right. Well, you are the person that I know. I always refer to you when I say that money loves speed, right? There's a lot of quotes out there, but I heard that first from you. And so, so there you go. All right. So anyway, let's jump right in. You want to give like just a minute or two summary? I know it's always kind of a tough thing to wrap your whole life into a short summary, but what got you from, you know, where you were growing up to where you are now?
Good God almighty. You want to open with that question? That takes like 3 hours to answer. My God, the short answer is I was homeless at one point, in poverty for 10 years, now live the lifestyle of the rich and famous and get to do wonderful things like meet you and have this interview and reconnect with you after all these years. And I would say what got me here is everything from persistence to constantly working on myself, the self-improvement, the sharpening the saw, optimism, hope. Mentors, friends, people who believed in me before I believed in myself, so many things. People used to ask me, you know, what did you do to go from homeless to wealthy? And they were looking for the magic pill. They were looking for the one answer. They were looking for the one book or the one seminar, or the one podcast, the one something. And it frustrated the hell out of me until I decided, oh, I do know the answer. Here's the one thing I did. Everything. I did the books, the seminars, the audios. I did the coaching, the mentors. I went to everything. I soaked it up. I ate it up. I did everything, not all of it working, but I didn't know what was going to work, in the hopes that it would move me forward. And obviously, it's moved me forward. But I did everything.
You know, that is one of the most honest answers I've ever heard.
Oh, really? Which,
yes, because people are always trying to sell something, you know, and so they have that one system, the one thing that's going to make it happen for you. And there isn't that one thing. And even if it worked for that one person, that doesn't mean it's going to work for you. Right. And so there is no one size fits all package or product or tool. And so the fact that you're like, that you're so honest, because that's my experience too. I'm hustling, trying everything, putting all kinds of irons in the fire, hooks in the water. What's going to bite? Because you don't know, and you just kind of test and test and test and test and test, right?
That's it.
So from what I'm hearing from you is one of the keys is that personal development and persistence, and you keep trying, even if nothing seems to be working, you keep going anyway, and you keep trying and keep investing and keep finding coaches and keep moving forward. And then does it seem to you like for those who continually just keep trying, eventually something's going to click?
Yes and no. And I'm going to take the opportunity to inject what I think is the most important bit of wisdom here. And the trying part and the taking action part and the persistence part is definitely part of the formula. But what I've learned is you have to take care of the inside part of you so you are in alignment to receive success. When I was in homelessness and when I was in poverty, which lasted 10 some years, I was doing all the persistent stuff and the take action stuff. I was writing, I'm sending out my writing, I'm working on myself, I'm sending it out. But what I didn't know at that time is that my inner beliefs about deservingness, about success, about money, about self-worth weren't there. And so all of the stuff I was doing was part of the formula. But the other part was I'm shooting myself in the foot if I'm mentally not ready to receive money or success or publication or any of the things that I was actually striving for. And I think this is what I've been calling the missing secret. This is the missing secret to the movie, The Secret, to the Law of Attraction, to all that self-help stuff that's out there. And believe me, I've been a self-help junkie. I read the books, I write the books, I listen, I buy other people's products, working on myself for decades. And it wasn't until I realized that we have a conscious mind. I mean, you know all of this, but maybe your listeners or viewers don't. We have the conscious mind, subconscious mind, unconscious, collective unconscious, and there's a whole lot of data in that below conscious realm. So consciously we go, I'm going to be a success. I'm going to be an author. I'm going to open my business and I'm going to rake in sales and I'm going to be whatever. But unconsciously, if you think money's evil or money's bad or success will corrupt me or I'm not good enough or I'm not skilled enough or I'm not likable or I'm not lovable or I'm not destined or this works for everybody else, it doesn't work for me. There's an entire database of limiting negative thoughts. And until those are cleaned up, consciously we'll go in the right direction, but we will sabotage our own efforts and we won't even know it. I did that for 10 years until my own awakening, if you will. And I started to realize, oh my God, I'm creating all of my life from my beliefs, not the conscious beliefs, the subconscious, unconscious beliefs. When you get in there and clean them up, now you have alignment, integrity. And then when you say, I'm going to go do something, you can go do it and achieve it. So I want to make sure that we don't deceive anybody in the sense that it's all action. Yeah, action is part of the formula. But this self-work inside, clearing ourselves, what I call taking care of the counter-intentions, is also part of the formula. Put those together, and now success is almost guaranteed. You know, you still got variables and other things you have to do, but you'll be moving in the right direction.
I've met so many people over the years who have done the inner work and they've really worked on developing their sense that wealth and abundance is good because you can do more good with it, right? God has blessed us with these tools. And so we can use these tools and skills to make a positive impact in the world. And they're trying different things and they really believe that things are going to go well and they're using these things. And then it'll feel like, but things still aren't clicking. Things still aren't working. Things still aren't falling into place. And so usually what I say is, well, make sure that you're listening to, you know, surrounding yourself in an environment where you have positive people, positive energy, positive messages influencing you so that you don't slip back into those old fear-based beliefs and thinking. And then sometimes people get caught there. So, you know, it's almost like we say, well, you know, you fix yourself on the inside and you know money is good and you believe that you're worthy and you're worthy of love and you're good enough and you don't have to prove it anymore. But then after that, you know, what comes next?
Well, the first thing is if people are working on themselves and still not getting the results that they prefer, mm-hmm. I think that's a sign that they are incomplete with that work on themselves. Mm-hmm. Because in my worldview, we get exactly what we unconsciously believe and expect. We get what we unconsciously believe and expect. I will run into people who will say things like, hey, I watched the movie The Secret, really felt good, but you know, Law of Attraction doesn't work for me. Or affirmations don't work for me, and visualization doesn't work for me. And I'll go, oh, really? And I'll say, do you ever worry? Oh, yeah, I worry a lot. Well, if you worry, you're practicing visualization, you're practicing affirmations or negations, you're practicing and proving the law of attraction and everything in it, only you're doing it unconsciously and you're doing it blindly. So the very first thing I tell people is we got to wake up to the fact that we're creating our own reality. We may be creating it unknowingly and unconsciously until a moment like now, when the right person says the right thing and suddenly they awaken and go, oh, if I'm still struggling in my business, I probably still have beliefs about myself and my business and money. We can't say it's circumstances. We can't say it's the politics. We can't say it's the current environment in any way, shape, or form, because there are too many examples of people who are succeeding despite it. And those people succeeding despite it are proving that it is possible for all of us to succeed. So what I always say is, it's mirror work. We got to look in the mirror and we got to be ruthlessly honest with ourselves about our beliefs. I've also admittedly found out that it's so easy to deceive ourselves that often the best way to find out what you're really believing is with a coach, with a mentor, being in a mastermind, being with other people who can possibly see or hear your beliefs and then hold up a mirror to you and lovingly, non-judgmentally let you look at your beliefs and you go, oh, I didn't even know that was there. Because for every one of us, we are living out of our beliefs and don't know it. Your turn to speak so I can drink.
Yeah, I know. It chokes me up too. So I love that. You know, I love the things. I'm always taking notes, and I don't know if other people do that, but every time I'm on here, I'm just writing notes as quickly as I can. And you said so many good things there. So let me recap. So first of all, worrying is visualization, right? Worrying is using the law of attraction, but just not in the way that you want it to. And I love the term mirror work, right? You got to work with the person who's looking back at you in the mirror. And, you know, I had a coach for a long time that said that you can't see the label when you're in the bottle, right? And so you need objective feedback, someone from outside being able to reflect back what they're hearing from you in order to identify what some of your self-limiting beliefs might be so that you can upgrade them. And because without doing that, you might really feel like you're in a place where you're doing all the right things, all the stuff that you're supposed to be doing, and yet not be on course, right? Because of that self-deception.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a whole lot of self-awareness. And I admit that my greatest breakthroughs in my personal life came when I started working with a coach. Mm-hmm. Because it's one thing to read the books, and I write books. I'm trying to help people awaken with the books. But it's one thing to read the books. It's another thing to work with somebody who is listening to your story, listening to your beliefs, and can point them out to you, because we live in a world that is created out of our beliefs. But we will look at it as our reality. It'll seem like concrete, unchangeable reality, when in reality, it's plastic. And life is an optical illusion. And what we're seeing is based on the beliefs that are up here. We're seeing it through filters. So having somebody that's on the outside of my filter pointing out, hey, have you ever considered that maybe that belief is there as a filter? I now get to look at it when maybe I never did before. So I'm a great believer in having coaches, mentors, being in a mastermind, having people who can support you.
That's excellent. So from your coaching experiences then, were there any beliefs that you started out with in your career that now when you take a look back, you don't really buy into anymore?
Yeah, that's a great question. The biggest one for me, and it was the belief that made me homeless. It was the belief that made me homeless. And that was the belief that in order for me to be a successful author, I had to struggle, starve, and go through the drama of hopelessness as a kind of a curriculum. And I swear, that was an operating belief, and I had no idea. I had no conscious idea that that was there. And when I suddenly realized that that was a belief, I also realized that the authors I most admired at that time, Jack London, Ernest Hemingway, these people had dramatic lives and they killed themselves. And Jack London, as successful as he was with Martin Eden, The Call of the Wild, The White Fang, Seawolf, he wrote 50 some books. He was dead by 40. He didn't make it past 40 years old. And I thought that I had to have a life like theirs in order to have a success like theirs. And when I realized, wow, I can model their writing style, but not their lifestyle, And I can be far more successful by dropping that other belief. So that was the big one. Another one for me, and I find that most people have this one. And so I want to invite the people that are watching or listening to consider this. And that's the idea that I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. That you're not good enough. I find that most people have that. Mm-hmm. And they grew up in an environment where they had well-meaning parents, but I've often said, were your parents enlightened? Were your parents Mr. and Mrs. Buddha? They had their own baggage. They had their own limiting beliefs, and they downloaded a lot of that to you. And so you end up feeling like you're less than, or that you're not smart enough or educated enough or just plain lovable enough or good enough. And that sense of not being good enough will unconsciously stop you from achieving and especially receiving the success you want. And so that was another one I had to look at and go, hey, I'm good enough. By God, I'm lovable. I'm likable. I accept me. So those big beliefs right there in my case, and I really invite people to look, they may not have those beliefs, but they've got beliefs. Every single person here is operating from a belief system. And some of those beliefs within that paradigm may not be serving them. And so I invite everybody, look in the mirror, ask yourself, in the life I have now, what possible beliefs could contribute to the creation of this? Mm-hmm. And it's a way to kind of fish for and be a detective and dig out the beliefs that are actually creating the lifestyle they have. Yes. Yeah. I smile because I go, this is exhilarating work, because you end up freeing yourself. I mean, my God, when I was 40 some years ago, whenever it was, I looked into the world and it was the world against me. And I was scared and I was angry and I didn't see opportunities. I didn't see gold. I didn't see possibilities. I didn't see any of that stuff. It was dark. Same guy, same body, look out into the same universe. My God, it's a life of magic and miracles, abundance, prosperities, opportunities, choices. It's exhilarating. What's different? My beliefs.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So I'll work with people. I've done a lot with helping people to transform their health and their energy and their body for a couple of decades now. And it's interesting because one of my clients, Kathleen, she's down 130 pounds, right? Wow. And we're having the same kind of conversation. It's the same her, right? When she looks in the mirror, her body looks different, really different. You know, she's lost almost half of herself, but it's still her, right? But the only thing that's different is instead of her feeling like, I remember she told me one time when I first met her, she said, maybe I should just be a happy fat person. And then she just kind of spaced out and looked so sad and depressed. And then she said, but that's not who I am. That's not what I'm supposed to be. And she felt like there was something better for her. And now she's on the other side of it. And the only thing that's different are her beliefs. And she has the same energy as you. When I see her now, she's like this and she's all excited. And it's the same person, but her head is different because she did the mirror work. So exactly right. Yeah.
And so, I see that all the time when it comes to wealth in particular. Because we can look at the stories of people who win the lottery and they may end up with millions of dollars when they were broke beforehand. And yet, if they're not ready for wealth and they haven't accepted money as a useful tool and they don't know about deservingness, they'll be broke in a short period of time. They'll actually be bankrupt. They'll actually go in debt. And part of the rest of the world looks at it and is like, how is that possible? It's mind-boggling. They won the lottery. They're millionaires. And now they're broke. It's a demonstration that we have to take care of the inner to accept the outer.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. That's excellent. It's excellent. So because of your success, right, you have a higher level success than most. So you're hanging around with other people who are succeeding at a higher level. Are there really inside secrets that people, you know, once you get to higher up and you're connecting with people who are more affluent, maybe not more grounded or happy or spiritually based, but people who have excelled at a higher level in business, are they really doing things differently than everybody else? Or is it still just hustling, but they don't make as many mistakes because they've learned from their past?
That is a great question, and I love it because I am now hanging around people that are billionaires. I'm not a billionaire. I'm going there. But I'm hanging around billionaires, and one of the most recent ones is a young fellow in Thailand. He was homeless 15 years ago. 15 years ago, he is homeless. Wow. And he is sleeping on a beach in Thailand, and he calls a friend of his back in Sweden and asks for money. And his friend did something I don't think I could do. His friend said, I'm not going to send you money. I'm going to send you a book. Now stop and think. My friend in Thailand is starving. He has nothing. And his friend back in his home country of Sweden says, I'm not going to send you any money. I'm going to send you a book. He sends him the book, The Secret, which was what the movie was based on. And my friend in Thailand is angry. He's enraged. He's starving and he gets a book to read. And he thought he would read it just to say, well, his friend thought it was important enough. Let me look at it. And then he wanted to prove the principles wrong. And so he thought, well, let me try to manifest a cup of coffee. 2 days later, he gets a cup of coffee. And he says, let me try to manifest a lunch. Day or so later, he gets a lunch. And he says, well, let me try to manifest an apartment. A couple weeks later, he gets an apartment. 15 years later, he is a billionaire with a B billionaire, and he's 35 years old. I met him because he said Jack Canfield, Bob Proctor, and Joe Vitale were the three people who changed his life. And so he brought me to Thailand, and he put on his very first event there. So I got to meet him. I heard his story. I heard the story I just told you. And I said, you got to write your book. You got to share this. I arranged to write his book. And so we are releasing the book soon called Homeless to Billionaire. And it's the 18 principles for creating wealth and becoming a money magnet. So to answer your question, I know what those other principles are. And some of them are principles we know, like visualizing what you want, affirming what you want, things that are in this movie, The Secret, things that are in self-help, things that are in the law of attraction, taking massive action, not being stopped by failures and setbacks, looking at failures and setbacks as data. It's data, it's information. It's like, okay, what do I use with this data to recorrect my course or to create a whole new product? But some of the principles, and I'm going to share one with you, blew my mind. In Thailand, on people's birthdays, they don't receive gifts. They give gifts. And I never in my life ever considered that on my birthday, I would be the one giving gifts. I grew up as a Christmas baby, upset about it, because I always thought people would say, here's your Christmas present and your birthday present. Whatever. So I go to Thailand and I hear that there's this gift culture mentality. And my friend in Thailand, his name is Andres Pira. He was from Sweden, so he goes to Thailand and he hears about the gift culture and he starts giving. He gives on his birthday, his wife gives on her birthday, and they do massive giving. And he noticed his income increased. So he started giving more. And he noticed his income increased even more. And then he told me the story of how he created his first $1 million. He had heard about a small village that had children with HIV, and they were trying to help the kids there. And they were in a rundown facility with limited medical resources. So Andres donates $80,000 to that place. He's not a billionaire at that time. He's not a millionaire at that time. And $80,000 is a stretch for him at that time. But he gives $80,000 for a cause he believes in. He also gets in there and does labor. He paints and pounds nails and he does all this stuff. Within a month, he lands the largest deal of his life for $1,800,080. Wow. He got his investment back and he got his $1 million. There, Jack Canfield's writing a book about billionaires right now, and he said the three things they have in common: they exercise on a regular basis, they meditate on a regular basis, and they give on a big, regular basis.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you just answered my next question. So good job. Because I was going to ask, you know, is there, you know, I would imagine that the listeners that I'm, you know, that are on my program are probably aware of the law of attraction, you know, what you think about comes about and things like that. So I was going to ask if there were some extra things that you might have learned from, you know, from being one of the authors on the law of attraction in our 20th mm-hmm. and 21st century. So, so taking care of your physical body, right? Making yeah. time, because I think a lot of us have what I call achiever syndrome, where we're running, our main drive is away from pain, right? So we always are afraid that we're going to miss out, or we're not going to make it, or there's not going to be enough, or it's going to stop working. And then when you make money, then you're just afraid that you're going to lose it, or you're going to get, you know, blindsided, or something's going to happen. And so we're always running on adrenaline, and we can move mountains and get things done like nobody else, but then it always ends up feeling like we end up in the same place again. And so, you know, exercising, I've talked to people who said, I don't have time for that. You know, I need to make sure to meditate. I don't have time to sit there for 20 minutes. Have you seen how many emails I got? And, you know, and that's not going to pay the bills. And people, and yet the masters, the gurus out there that you know, like yourself and Jack Canfield and Proctor, what's his first name?
Bob,
that's right. That's right. Yeah. I have his book somewhere on my shelf saying you were born rich, and I couldn't remember his first name.
Right, Bob, right, yes. Right.
And so, you know, they're all saying, no, that's what you need to do. Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra said the same thing. You know, are you stressed? Meditate, right?
Right.
Sit still, get quiet. Right. You know, I have my best ideas first thing in the morning, when I haven't got out of bed yet. In fact, I was trying to stay in bed a little bit longer today, just trying to come up with a couple other insights and then, or in the shower, right? When you have quiet time.
Right.
And so I love that. You know, a lot of times people are like, you know, Indy cars, you know, I'm here in Indianapolis. So Indy race cars, you know, we're built for speed and performance. We're built to win races. But if you don't take those pit stops, you don't finish the race.
Right.
So that's really good. I like that a lot. I'm going to have to do more. So what about people that are giving and giving, and they feel like they're giving a lot, and but it doesn't seem like that law of reciprocity is kicking in?
Yeah, that's a great question, because for me, the answer is very obvious. You can give all you want. You can give money, you can give time, you can give energy. But if you still have beliefs about deservingness or money is bad, you will block it. Mm. So the giving is still going out, but you have to be open to receive for it to come back in. Andres, my friend in Thailand, doesn't have any of those blocks. So the money's going out, it's coming back in abundance, and he is doing massive deals with Best Western and giant titans, and he's becoming a force of power himself by everything he's doing. But he doesn't have that internal block. And I have seen people that will be giving time, or they'll be giving money, but it's not coming back, only because they don't want it back. Unconsciously, subconsciously, they have beliefs that say, money's still bad, so keep it away.
Yeah.
They don't know that. They're not thinking that. But again, I invite people to really look at the results they're getting and ask what might be the beliefs that would trigger that kind of a result. So if we know, and there's, you know, it's overwhelming proof that when we give, it's going to come back. But if we feel like it's not reaching our hands or our pockets or our bank account, we got to look at, okay, what might I be believing to stop that? And that could be anything like, this works for everybody else, but it doesn't work for me. And that's a belief. That's not a fact. That's not reality. I mean, Andres, when he wanted to prove the secret wrong, wanted to prove it wrong. He was coming from a place of skepticism. And yet, by slowly, and this is one of the things that's also important to do, you slowly go for some of the things you want. He didn't come out of the beat saying, I'm going to be a billionaire. The billionaire was not in the realm of possibility based on his belief system at that time. He came out of the beat saying, I want lunch. You know, give me lunch. And then with getting lunch, he can build to, okay, give me coffee. He can build to, give me another job. Build to, give me an apartment.
Yeah, that's really good. So many nuggets of wisdom here. Now, I know you have released a new book. So this is probably like your 1,000th book, I think, that you've written. So, and congratulations, by the way, for doing that deal with Andreas, because I think that's going to be really smart for him hooking up with you, because you'll be able to capture his story in a way that others would not. So,
but, you know, he asked me one question that's worth answering. He asked me when I proposed to write the book, he said, why would you do that? Why would you write the book? And I said, truth of the matter is, I want to learn from you. You may have been inspired by me. You're a billionaire. I'm not. I want to find out what you're doing, what you're thinking, what your actions are, what your beliefs are, what your stories are. I want to know for me. And that's why I took it on.
Do you think that some people just get lucky?
Interesting question. I dare to answer that because there's a hint of victimhood in the question.
If
I say, yeah, there, you know, some people are lucky, it just sounds like there's this astrological random power based on the planets and based on something in your life or your background or your DNA. Maybe you're going to be lucky, maybe you're not. I don't believe that. I actually feel that we are in a belief-driven universe. Change your beliefs, you get a different universe. If you want to be lucky, start believing you're a lucky person.
That's a great answer.
Thanks.
That is a great answer. Wow. I need more post-it notes to write on. Next time I talk with you, I'm going to start with a larger piece of paper. So what's the latest book that you have, and how can we get our hands a hold of it? Because we don't have the Homeless to Billionaire book yet. So what's the next great book that we can get from you as quickly as possible?
First, you can get on the notification list for Homeless to Billionaire by going to homelesstobillionaire.info, homelesstobillionaire.info. You mentioned my book, The Miracle, which is Six Steps to Enlightenment. But that's not my most recent book. My most recent book is Anything is Possible, Seven Steps for Doing the Impossible. I'm going to read the subtitle because it explains it. Mind-Expanding Secrets for Achieving Your Biggest, Boldest, Most Bodacious Goals, Discovered While Bending Nails, Bolts, Bars, and Horseshoes by Hand.
Wow.
I became a strong man, and this is a bolt that I bent, but I have horseshoes, steel bars, nails, I forget what else, that I have bent by hand. And what I learned to do, that picture of me holding that pile of bent metal, I bent all of that by hand. And how I learned to do it is there's muscle power involved, there's mind power involved, and there's some method involved. I took all of that and applied it to any goals that people can have. And so my mindset and my mantra is anything is possible. And seven steps for doing the impossible are the seven steps that I learned from bending all of that stuff and applied them to your business, to whatever it is that your goal is. So Anything is Possible is the most recent book, at least I think it is.
That's any book that has the word bodacious in it should be purchased just right off the bat. It should be one of your criteria.
But I love that.
I'm putting it in my library. That's really impressive. I've seen guys, I was at a church, this was a number of years ago, and there was a group of guys that came in and they were trying to put their life back together. They were all actually, they had been in prison and they wanted to learn how to do good. And so they found God and they started sharing and preaching and talking about what's possible for them, and redemption was their real message. But they wanted to captivate the audience and they didn't know exactly how. And they started doing things like that. I remember they tore a phone book in half.
Right.
And another guy had this rubber water bladder, you know, that you would fill up. And he
blew it up.
Yeah, and blew it up. Now, right? We thought he might blow up because it took him a little bit longer than what was, I mean, he was bright
red.
That's
serious.
It was serious. But it was him or that bladder, you know, but it popped. And there was a big cheer, and it was really amazing.
Oh, yeah, I'm fascinated with all that. I've been hanging around and studying with the strong men that are out there.
Yeah.
And Dennis Rogers and Iron Tamer David Whitley are two of the ones I've had come to my house and come to my gym and personally train me on bending horseshoes and bars and all that wild but exhilarating things. I love doing it.
Oh, that's incredible. That just throws it back to India, you know, and people are laying on a bed of nails and, you know, things like that, right? It just shows the power of the mind and the power of suggestibility. Well, this is outstanding. I know you've got to run, but I really want to thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. I've learned so much, and I'm sure that everybody else is really grateful that you took the time to invest in us and to share your knowledge and your wisdom. And I took lots of great notes, and I'm excited to get a copy of your latest book. I have your other ones. I'm throwing back to when you were doing them. Did you see? I'm sure you saw the Greatest Showman, right? With Hugh Jackman.
Of course.
Yeah. Because yeah, that was one of the first programs that I ever got of yours, which was on, right. You know, P.T. Barnum, you know, and what a masterful salesman and, you know, just an amazing showman that he really was, right?
Well, and your audience are into business and maybe saw the movie or not, my book on P.T. Barnum is still out there and still changing lives. From a business standpoint, I'm very proud of that book. It's called There's a Customer Born Every Minute, and it's the 10 Rings of Power that Barnum and Barnum-like characters from that time till today have used. And so I still believe that those 10 principles that he used to make himself so famous, we know his name today, and they still make movies about him today, and a titan of business, I think anybody that applies those 10 principles today is still going to be a success. And it will even be easier because you can apply technology to it, which he didn't have back then. So There's a Customer Born Every Minute. Yeah, I still love that book.
I do too. And it was in that book that you said he didn't say there was a sucker born every minute.
That's why the title is There's a Customer Born Every Minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. A competitor said the sucker line, and Barnum just thought, well, if he's getting credit, it means he's getting publicity, and he just let it be. He didn't argue with it. He didn't mind his name being thrown around. But no, he was very respectful of people. Brilliant, genius, marketer, salesperson, entrepreneur, publicist. He was a speaker. He was an author. He was a politician. He was into spirituality. I mean, I still am fascinated with Barnum. Still today.
Yeah. Well, that's outstanding. All right. Well, thank you, Joe Vitale. Great, amazing guy, everybody. Make sure I'll put the links to all this stuff on here so that you can grab his latest book and all the other ones that he has, because he's got books that will help you personally. It'll help you professionally. He's just got so much to offer, as you've seen here today. So Joe, thanks again for spending time with us. And we hope to have you back on the show sometime down the road.
Hey, Tim, anytime you want it. This was a blast. It's a joy to see your smiling face again. So I'm glad to come back whenever you want it.
Excellent. Thanks, everybody. All right. Thanks again, Joe. Everybody, thank you for being here. If it wasn't for you, this show wouldn't matter. So we appreciate you. Make sure you apply what you've learned today. Take one of the nuggets that Joe shared with you and start applying it right now. Take a look in the mirror. Success is definitely an inside job. And if you focus on taking care of you and applying these insights, your life will be a sure success. Thanks so much, everybody. Talk to you soon. Hey, would you like more free tips on how to be a mesmerizing leader? Then check out mesmerizingleadership.com. And also hang out with me on Facebook, facebook.com/Tim Schur. Thanks so much, and make your day a sure success.